Hello and welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast. I am your host, Emil Fragoso, the Sacktown Sports 49ers beat writer covering the NFL and 49ers, all things 49ers out there in Santa Clara. And I am joined by our producer, our one-hit wonder man, the man of the hour, just a bajillion things you can say about this guy, Nate Littlefield. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm doing well. I got a scary text from my uncle about an hour ago that said, can I read it to you? It's 49ers related.
Yeah, go for it.
He texted me and he said, am I reading this right? Kittle is done in SF. And I was like, what?
What?
What are you talking about? So I had to go in and look, but he made a post to all the free agents.
Yeah.
That they were going away. He just misread it.
Oh my gosh.
He had a major health incident recently. So he just might be losing it. But that scared me, bro. It's like, I guess we're going to have something to talk about. Like, that would be devastating.
Yeah, I'll just confirm right now. Kittle is not leaving the Bay Area. That's not happening. Your uncle can rest easy. That's no way.
Well, he's a Raiders fan, so I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to get in my head.
Maybe he's trying to get in your head then.
It worked. Wow.
Raider fan, that's tough. That's tough.
I guess I'll have to stop getting him Kings tickets.
Ooh, there you go right there. That's how you do it, hey. Yeah. You want to talk some stick? You don't get no Kings tickets.
Yeah.
Right there. Anyways, we have a lot to talk about today. A lot to break down with the 49ers and just the wild first week of free agency that's going on right now. And just all their losses as well as all their gains, all their signs they made. Just kind of a wild time and how it's kind of transitioned from the NFL to kind of how the NBA does their free agency, where there's a two-day tampering period or legal tampering period, they call it, where a lot of the deals get done prior to when agents can start negotiating with players, or when agents start negotiating with teams, I should say. And a lot has really happened since then. It's only been 4 days since that started, Monday midday. But a lot of the big names are already off there, Nate. What surprised you the most about free agency so far?
I don't know how surprised I was, because I was looking forward to building the trenches. We've just re-signed guys on the O-line. We haven't brought anyone new. It's hard to keep track of everyone that's coming in and out, but I'm very happy that the D-line has been bolstered, because our biggest signing was Hargrave. And even though he's 30 years old, it's a two-year deal, correct?
It's 4 years technically, but it gets spread out in a certain way. There's probably some certain contract stipulation in there where they can get out probably after the third year. There's going to be some back half, I would say, some help to them, some relief for their cap. But again, we'll see how it plays out.
So that's what – I don't know if I was shocked about anything specifically. I guess the shocking – it's not even flashy, but the Sam Darnold thing you don't really think of him as like a veteran presence, but he kind of, I mean, he's been around now for a while and he's been through it. So I'm excited to see, I won't be excited to see if he gets on the field, cause that's not a good sign, but it's an interesting move at the very least.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Let's start with Hargrave, right? Javon Hargrave was the big signing on Monday. And frankly, it shocked me. It shocked a lot of the national media, a lot of the 49ers media, including guys like Matt Maioka, Jennifer Lee Chan, all those, you know, people who are really plugged in with the Niners. Them to go out and get a statement signed Javon Hargrave
as the Kinlaw.
Not Kinlaw. Javon, and there's Javon.
Never mind. I'm making a mess over here.
No, you're good, Nate. But no, we had to correct it yesterday when we were talking to Javon. Make sure it's Javon, right? Yeah, Javon. Okay. All right. Javon Hargrave. So in the future, FYI. Anyway, Javon signed a 4-year, $84 million deal with about $40 million guaranteed in there. Obviously, those numbers are going to be helpful for the Niners down the road in terms of the guarantee money, how much is actually owed. Because like you said earlier and alluded to, that probably after the second season, maybe the third season, they could get off his contract possibly and get a lot of cap relief going into 2026, I believe. That would be, 2026, yes. And so that would be really helpful. But just the signing and the impact of it, I mean, you don't see contending teams like the Niners make moves like this. You just don't. to make a statement signing one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL, the best one on the market currently, to get him and bring him to the Niners. You just played the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. I mean, that's a real statement signing. You have to feel good about that, at least to get some top-end talent.
Well, I believe that he heard the Niners wanted to sign him, and he was ecstatic, correct? Like, yes. That's a story. Yes. I saw. So that is exciting. It's cool to know that players want to come here. Obviously, this is a good team that's been Super Bowl fringe for a while now. So if he thinks he can win a Super Bowl here, that makes me think we can win a Super Bowl here. I guess I think it's great to have that depth and that power at the D-line, because it's one of those cliches, but obviously the game's won in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And with young quarterbacks, you need to – they need to have time. And when they're attacked by guys like Hargrave, then it teaches them how to get better in practice. So, obviously, I'm really excited to see him on our team, to say the least.
Yeah, I think most of 49ers faithful is very, very excited about it. Obviously, you're losing that depth that we talked about with certain players, but you're getting a guy like Hargrave, who has just gotten better with each season, is a real unstoppable force on the interior. I mean, they call him the grave digger, right? I mean, that guy is able to pull out and turn offensive centers as well as guards and just get around them with just sheer force as well as agility. And to speak back on the shock thing we're talking about, you know, the ecstaticness, he was just surprised. Like, he did not expect a team like the Niners to reach out, because contending teams do not have the money typically to go get free agents like this. To go get a bag as well as go to a contender is very, very rare. And he explained that, you know, I was nervous about free agency, actually, because I knew that it was really possible me going to a rebuilding team. I wouldn't be contending like I was with the Eagles. I was worried about, you know, what our outlook was going to be like for this season, how much I was going to be contributing to a playoff contending team. And so when the Niners called, like you said, it was a pretty simple decision for him to make of, I want to go play with Nick Bosa. I want to play with Eric Armstead. I'm going to be with Javon Kinlaw. You know, I want to play with all these guys, Fred Warner, that are all Pro Bowl caliber players in the Niners. And to be coached under Steve Wilks as well, I mean, it's a home run signing for him and a home run signing for the Niners, I think.
Yeah, this is trending with the quarterbacks especially. This is a very player-friendly team, because there's talent all over, and – I think everyone likes the coaching staff. So it's the rich get richer, essentially. And I'm happy they paid him. I did see DeForest Buckner send out a little passive tweet. I don't know. Did you see that, Emil? Yeah, he was upset.
Yeah, I did. Look,
because it's the deal he wanted, I guess, specifically. But that was a while. I mean, that was 4 seasons ago now.
DeForest is also younger, all this great stuff. I personally think that, and I've heard this a lot lately, this signing with Hargrave is kind of the realization of the mistake of not extending DeForest Buckner. I'm not keeping him on there. You need two very good defensive tackles on that interior so that guys like Nick Bosa can eat on the edge. And I think the Niners realized that last year when they were getting beat up the middle by the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, and how important it was to have not only depth in the interior, but also have barely top tier talent on the interior. And so that's what I think this signing is kind of an omission of mistake on the Niners' part by not keeping Buckner.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a great point. Just reinstating, I'm excited. I'm excited for a tough D line. That's where games are won. So
yeah. And then obviously the next signing right after that kind of took people by surprise, including myself, was Sam Darnold. They got him on a 1-year deal, $4.5 million at the base, $3.5 million guaranteed, but there are incentives in his contract: playtime, QBR rating, wins, a bunch of et cetera stuff.
Oh, I did not know that. I didn't know you could put in for like QBR rating. I did not know that was could be included in a contract.
It can, yes. A variety of different factors. I don't know the exact numbers. We'll get those over time. Obviously, only agents release those numbers, how much they want to release those numbers. We only know that it can go up to $11 million by the end of the year if he hits those incentives. Very similar to Jimmy Garoppolo and his contract last year, his restructure last year. You know, the Niners aren't banking on Darnold to be the guy down the stretch, but if he has to be, there's a nice lump of change here for you just sitting there if you want to be the guy. And, you know, Darnold obviously has had an underwhelming career so far, considering he was a 3rd overall pick in the 2018 draft, I believe.
2018, yes.
Yes. To the New York Jets, and he's been underwhelming, of course, but – he's only 25 years old. And I think that's pretty key with him and what he's looking for in terms of a fresh start. You know, he wanted to come to the Niners because of Kyle Shanahan, yes, but also because of Brian Greasy, the quarterback's coach. He really likes Brian Greasy, and he really likes the structure that they built with Trey Lance and Purdy. And he's like, I see some similarities in our games, actually. I see an ability to kind of pick each other's brains and make the quarterback room really great because we have the ability to not only throw from the pocket, but also scramble and find open guys in the open field. And so I think that Sam saw a real, not only a good contract, because he's getting a very good deal here as a backup, but also a chance to, you know, play a similar style that he's used to, that he feels comfortable with here with the Niners. And so that's exciting, I think, for the Niner fans, that this is more than just a over the hill, you know, third number three quarterback. This is a guy that, you know, if he has to play, isn't the worst option.
Yeah. My issue with it, though, I think we were talking about it last week, is just veteran presence. Like I was saying, yes. I would prefer to get a guy like Matt Ryan, even though the money wasn't really working. Mm-hmm. He is just so young, and he hasn't really been through much in the NFL that isn't just losing over and over again, which is hard to see. I mean, you know, it's a little reunion with McCaffrey, which is you know, I don't know what that means, but it's nice to have some chemistry built in to a team that you're coming to. But I'm looking at his record right now. He did go 4-2 last year as a starter with a 92 mm-hmm. rating.
Yeah.
So that's the best, I mean, season he's had. It'll, you know, given it was six games,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just worried about the presence of not, or the lack of presence of a veteran quarterback in the room. And it's great to have Greasy, and it's great he likes Greasy, but that's where my worries begin.
No, I get it. So I understand you want the over the kind of, not even over the hill, but the more aged, weathered quarterback.
Yeah.
Arnold played a lot of games, and he has a relatively young age. He's probably considered a veteran now, wouldn't you say? I mean, he's going into his
technically. I mean, he is a veteran. I'd say, what, 3 years in, you're a veteran, right?
Yeah, I would say that.
How that works. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a veteran, but just the, I mean, I guess he's been there, done that. It's just, it's hard for me to just look and go, well, Brock's kind of more of a winner than Darnold has ever been. So what I'm curious to see what Darnold brings to that locker room.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know. I don't know in terms of mindset what he's going to bring. I just know he's going to bring a gaming mentality. That's the only thing I know, is that he's going to go out there and compete with these guys and really challenge Trey Lance to be the best version of himself. And if Trey Lance can't beat up Sam Darnold in training camp, I think that's going to say a lot on Trey Lance and his development this season.
I agree. I totally agree. You know, we're going into another wild quarterback off season. You hope mm-hmm. you don't see Sam Darnold play for the Niners at all. No offense to Sam or anyone in the organization, but
no offense.
It's, you know, obviously it's not a good thing when your guys are getting hurt. I hope Trey can get right and beat out Darnold, which I think he will. I think they'll give him that shot, even if it's a little rocky at first.
Yeah, I in terms of rockiness, I just don't think he's going to be the guy starting out. I do think this is Trey Lance's job. I think it's Purdy's job. Darnold's there to be a placeholder, and that's just kind of how this is going to be. And I think Sam knows that, but because he was saying the right things yesterday, really was. He was saying the right things in terms of, you know, it doesn't matter how much I play. You know, you can't look at the injury stuff. You know, there are some unknowns, but like, I'm just here to help the team win any way I can. Whether that means I'm playing or I'm not, like, if we win, it doesn't matter.
And well, that's the point he's done in his career, right? He was given a second chance by Carolina. It didn't work out. So now he's got to take a seat and he's got to wait and see if he can even earn another chance. He's lucky to be where he is right now.
Wow.
I'm sure he knows that. He's lucky to be on the Niner. Yeah. I mean, he's lucky just the way the NFL works. That's not a shot at him or anything, but the NFL is killer. He knows he's lucky to be in the NFL. You know what I mean? That wasn't a shot at him. That probably sounded bad. I know. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. The fire alarms over here, man. I don't know if he's lucky to be in the NFL. I think he's just lucky to fall into a situation that he is in now, where he could be playing for a potential playoff contending team early next season, or early next year, I should say.
Yeah. That's true.
And I think that's kind of one of the reasons why he chose the Niners and he chose this offer was, hey man, I can play some postseason football. I've never done that before. Yeah. I've never had postseason football in my life. I've played for the Jets and the Carolina Panthers, two franchises that are not doing too well right now. So
I will say I would have much preferred Sam Darnold coming into the game against the Eagles.
Yes, I think we all would have. And I think that's kind of what Kyle was thinking here with this signing is that, hey, you know, with all the issues we had at quarterback the last couple of years since I got here, and, you know, whether it's his fault or not, a lot of it's been unlucky. Like Purdy in the UCL, that's unlucky. That's just really unlucky. But to have
the snap.
I have my own thoughts about the Trey Lance injury, but whatever.
I understand.
Yeah, I have my own thoughts about that.
Yeah.
Let's leave that where it is. But for Darnold, though, he kind of wanted more insurance. He just wanted more insurance at the quarterback position. Now, if you have a situation like you did last year where you're down to your third-string quarterback, that was Purdy, yes, obviously, but now it's Sam Darnold. And I think that's important because there's a level of upgrade, of pedigree, of quarterback tier now that you're not throwing another guy into the fire. Sam's played in some big games, some NFL games. He was very good at USC during his time in college. And I think that's what Kyle appreciates about him is that he has pedigree to at least come through adversity and at least show up when he kind of has to. And he doesn't have to be the man in this offense. We know that with Purdy and Lance. It's a very much a yak offense, a rack offense. You just get the ball to your playmakers, let them go. And I think Sam can do that pretty well.
Yeah, quarterback friendly, of course. You have to be a good quarterback to play for this team. You have to be competent, at least, and smart, educated. I think not anyone can just walk into this offense despite popular belief. I think people do believe that anyone could walk in here, but they can't. They can't. Nick Mullins didn't do it. CJ Beathard didn't do it. Josh Johnson didn't do it.
Nope.
So you have to have talent. You have to be smart. Mm-hmm. And I think, obviously, he was a third-round pick. He wasn't a guy like Manziel, who is a freak talent, just not right there, not right in the head.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a chance here to kind of turn his career around.
I agree. I think that's what he's banking on here too. And what a lot of these Niner signings have been this offseason have been, let's try and turn our career around. And how are we going to do that with one of the best organizations in the NFL? And that is the 49ers. And I think that's kind of the biggest win of the offseason, actually, Nate, is just kind of the pedigree of the Niners and the reason why the players are coming here now. I mean, hell, before Shanahan got here in 2017, there was a really dark cloud over the Niners organization in terms of player treatment and quality and just coaching and stuff. And Kyle and John Lynch have really turned that around to players now are taking pay cuts to come back and come sign with the Niners because of the pedigree of getting them contracts later on.
All that starts with front office too. Mm-hmm. All that, you got to give major props to ownership to just be like, okay, there's an issue here. Let's get Balky out. Let's do all that and let's start from scratch, essentially. And I believe it was kind of a weird move. I think Kyle was hired before John Lynch, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's an anomaly in sports, I believe, to hire your head coach before your GM. Mm-hmm. But it's worked out. And you just have to – this organization has done such a good job and they're so competent. They've lost some, you know, games on the field, but I think the way – some important games, but – I think the way they handle issues like the Reuben Foster issue and like off the field stuff is amazing. All their players, there's never the biggest problem we've probably had is maybe the Debo drama.
Yeah.
Resigning him, but that's par for the course. I mean, that's how the business works. So
Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't anything. That was nothing.
That was something, but it was like a lot of that was outside. Being like, oh, isn't this weird? Look how weird you guys are for doing this. But they were like, yeah, we'll figure it out. I mean, both sides knew the situation, and I thought they handled it like adults, and they handled it professionally.
Yeah, I agree. And real quick, shout out to Parag Mareth, who is the executive vice president for the 49ers. He's the one making a lot of these deals as well. He's the one that knows all the cap and the salary cap stuff. So shout out to him and all his financial finagling he's been able to do for the 49ers over the past couple of years, this offseason, everything like that. If you look at John Lynch and you go, that's just John Lynch, it is not. It is a team behind him, and it starts with Perron as well. So shout out to Perron as well, who's getting these deals done.
Totally. I totally agree. And I mean, Kyle too, for getting his guys too.
Yes.
He is very good at drafting. I would say in the middle.
Did you see the video of them all dapping each other up yesterday in the conference rooms?
I did. Yeah. I saw on Instagram. I saw a couple. Yeah.
Kyle made me laugh. Kyle goes, this is so much better than FaceTime. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle, you see that video a couple years ago where he's throwing the football across the roof or whatever. Oh, it's just like, they seem, I don't know if this is a bad word to use, but bros, they just seem like bros. They're totally,
he's a bro.
I mean, yeah.
He's such a bro.
But he's also so serious too. And so like by the books, and he's so good at coach speak. And I mean, obviously he doesn't just get it from his father. That's not fair to say, but it runs in the family clearly.
It absolutely does. And it just shows, to go off the Shanahan coaching tree, just how many good coaches and how many good people come off this branch of just coaching. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, you got Rand Carthon now in Tennessee. You got D'Amico Ryans in Houston. You know, you got Robert Saleh in New York. You got Sean McVay with the Rams. I mean, there's just so many guys that come off the Shanahan coaching tree. It's like a factory. They just keep churning out people. It's kind of crazy. Not only on the field, but off the field. It's
McDaniel, too.
McDaniels.
It's nuts. It definitely goes to show how good this organization is. And you're lucky to not be an organization like Cleveland, or no offense, Vegas.
Yeah.
Just a real mess.
I love the Cleveland shout out. That was good.
Yeah, no, Cleveland is messed up.
Yeah.
They were starting to figure it out too. And then
And then Deshaun Watson came calling.
Yeah, even before that, it was like,
man.
Oh, what's happening here,
guys? And I liked Andrew Berry too, their general manager. I liked him a lot too, but he has made some questionable moves last couple of seasons. Anyway, let's keep going with free agents with the Niners. Obviously, the Niners, you just brought up Vegas. They signed one of the Vegas' former guys. Defensive end Cleland Farrell is now a San Francisco 49er on a 1-year, like $2.5 million deal. Very cost effective. Obviously, very number four overall draft pick in 2019 draft. I have my own feelings about Cleland, just because of the way we took him in the draft as a Raider fan in the past. But I think this is a really good move for the Niners in terms of getting a guy still with upside, still young, only 26. And I think he really is coming back to the Bay Area where it all started, with a chip on his shoulder. And I think that's important for a defensive end who wants to recapture his form that he used to have in college.
Yes, this is bang for your buck. I feel like this is our best signing.
Okay.
Hargrave is the best player we got, right? The money and if you consider everything, I think this is our best, and that's kind of a hot take, I understand. But I wanted to trade for Farrell at the deadline.
Really?
Last season. Yeah, I kind of had my eye. I was like, that might be a sneaky move that happens. But obviously you'd have to give something up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is better, unless
You just kept the seventh round pick. Congratulations. Congrats. He did.
Yes. Yeah.
He gets all his worth, probably.
Who knows? We might draft a Hall of Famer in that seventh round pick.
I'm telling you, like, we'll get to their draft picks later and how this is going to shape out with the
free.
But
I'm super excited. The money, I think he's a talented player. Yes, I do think Mayock and Gruden drafted him too early, all things considered. It's easy to say that with hindsight. But depth to the D line.
Yes.
Fantastic. We lost Ebukam. Mm-hmm. This guy, I don't know if this is a lateral move or maybe a half step forward from Ebukam. He was a great player, but I'm excited to see what he can do. And again, reviving careers. Mm-hmm. This is the place. This is if you want to get paid, you can definitely get your stats bolstered here.
Yeah, I mean, even Charles Menhu this year, he got, I believe, 2 for $20 from the Chiefs.
That's a great signing by them too, by the way.
Yeah, it's a good signing. But what you're trying to say here, and you're alluding to, I think, is absolutely on the money here.
Is that
players like Ebukam, Omenihu, who were cast offs on their former teams, they come to the Niners, they come to the defensive line coach Chris Kocurek, and they turn them into blue chip players, into true caliber starting players, and you could just see the results of it. I mean, Ebukam got 3 for 27. And he got, and then Menhu got 2 for $20. And I think that Arden Key also got paid this year. I don't know if you know that. Arden Key, former 49er defensive end who was with the Jaguars last year. Similar
Raiders, too.
Yeah, Raiders as well. Went to the Raiders, came to the Niners, got better, had his best season, then went to the Jacksonville Jaguars, now got paid again. And I think it goes to show that there's a formula of success here, and that's what Cleveland is banking on here. And I understand it, and I get it. And it's a really smart move by him and by the Niners, because not only does he get to come back to where it all started in the Bay Area, which he loves being in the Bay Area, he also gets to play with guys who he's already played for, who he knows really, really well. I got a little story time for you, actually, Nate. He shared a little story during the COVID-19 pandemic that Cleveland was actually hanging out and working out with Nick Bosa in Florida. He was spending time with Bosa and the Bosa brothers and just getting better at his craft, obviously, and getting better at being a defensive end. And so he's not only trained with him, he's trained with Eric Armstead, Javon Kinlaw, Arden Key, all these guys that have been former Niners or are current Niners right now. He is trained with them already. So like he said, the NFL is a brotherhood. It's not just about camaraderie and team. It's a brotherhood. And now he's playing with his brothers again with the Niners, now a really good organization. They're probably going to get the best out of him. I think this could be a very, very sneaky good signing for the Niners this season.
Yeah, totally agree. I might even be more high on him than you. And I think that chemistry thing is not to be something to be glossed over. That is fantastic. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. That makes me really excited because D-line chemistry is very important.
It is. Yeah. He said, whether I played against Devon in college or I've trained with Nick, Eric, Arden, Solomon Thomas, Maurice Hurst, I just have a good base of players around, especially ones that have been here. They gave me really good feedback and kind of solidified things and any questions that I may have gotten in the process. I definitely look at those guys' history and I've seen where it projects.
All good things.
All good things.
Plain and simple.
Good.
And that's what our guys, our front office, our coaches mm-hmm. expect. So
yeah,
that's what the fans expect. They love it. We have all pro players at almost every position. So mm-hmm. it's great to see that.
Yeah. And then our last signing obviously was a late one that we talked to him yesterday, cornerback Isaiah Oliver, who I think is sneakily one of the best signings that the Niners have made in a minute.
Okay.
I'm very big.
When we're done with these, let's rank them.
Let's do that. Okay.
I'm curious what you think.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a big Isaiah Oliver guy, not just because he was played in Pac-12 at Colorado, and obviously a little Pac-12 love, ASU, you know, forks up all the way around. Anyway, Isaiah Oliver sneakily was the number 6 ranked cornerback in run defense last season.
Okay.
Do you know who number 3 was?
Who number 3? Was it Jimmy Ward?
It was Charvarius Ward.
Charvarius Ward. Oh, yeah, that makes – because, yeah, that was a bad guess.
And, you know, you're fine. DB's corners are similar. Yeah. That's fine. What I'm trying to allude to here, though, was that you now have two of the top-tier tackling cornerbacks on this defense here with Steve Wilks, who is a defensive back whisperer, as we all know and can allude to with Steve Wilks. I just think it's a really good signing, and to get him, we don't know the numbers yet, but on a 2-year deal, it's kind of a prove-it deal, I believe. I'm not sure what the guarantees are just yet, but Isaiah's coming here to be versatile. You know, you lose Jimmy Ward, you lose Emmanuel Mosley, guys that can play all over the back seven. Now you have a guy like Isaiah Oliver who is, well, he's not super fast. He's very, very long, and he's very, very good at getting off and staying with guys. He only has one interception last season against the Niners, obviously that week 6 game against the Atlanta Falcons, where he went up and snagged that ball, and Kyle saw that and was like, let's go get him. Let's bring him here. So, you know, you got to love it. But I just think it's interesting because he even said it himself. He knows, I'm coming here to be versatile. I'm not coming here to just have one role. I'm coming here to do a lot of different things. So you could see him playing safety. You could see him playing in the nickel outside, you know, and it's just more insurance, more depth for the young guys here in the back.
Special teams too? You think that's a possibility?
I think it's possible. I don't think he plays special teams because I think that's what Womack's job is going to be.
Yeah.
Emory Thomas's job is going to be a special teams, especially. I think that's that Oliver's coming in here to really give Womack some work. Womack wants to be the starting nickel cornerback. He's wanted to since last season when he was a rookie. Now you got a guy like Oliver who his job is to be a nickel cornerback, you know, similar to Kaywan Williams all those years ago with the Niners. This is Oliver's job. He feels most comfortable in the slot. He's replacing Jimmy Ward in the slot with an actual true cornerback now. And so I think that's a really big thing because you're not playing a guy out of position. You're playing a guy who is in position.
Yep. Yeah, it's. I really don't know much about Isaiah Oliver. I'm not going to pretend I do. Mm-hmm. But he seems, yeah, seems, you know, what was his contract?
It was 2 years. We don't know the numbers yet.
2 years. Okay. Yeah. I was seeing 2 years. Okay. Yeah. I'm excited. I mean, not as excited as the other picks, but I thought our corners were kind of up and coming, but having a true nickel is great. We did play a lot of nickel towards the end, and obviously this is a passing league. It's going to be more important. Great. I don't have much to say about it, honestly. I really don't. I mean, it's just kind of a wait and see for me.
What are your thoughts on D'Amador Lenore and his finish at the end of the season last year? Do you think he really solidified himself as a number two outside corner?
For this team, yeah, maybe just because it's a tough position for us to fill for some reason every year. Corner is like, it's just been, I mean, with injuries, everything. But yeah, I think he's earned the spot right now. But, you know, come camp, that might change.
Yeah, you never know. I think they're going to want to stick him on the inside. That's kind of where he's played his best, is on the inside. And they want to keep D'Amador Lenore on the outside. But you never know. And obviously with injuries and his versatility, that's going to be a big deal for the Niners and for Steve Wilks, just being able to plug him and play in different spots. And I think that's important.
Yeah, I agree.
So, no, I like Oliver. I like a lot of the signings. And now we get to play our favorite game. What do you rank him?
Okay. All right, I'll go first. You want me to go first?
Yeah, go first.
We got these. I'm going to say, we're going to say like best to worst, I guess. There's not really a bad one here.
No, there isn't.
I know this is controversial. If there's like a 1A, 1B, I hate this is such a cop-out. But Cleveland Farrell, I guess, is my 1A. Just because I'm excited for the potential. I'm excited for the money. I think he could be very good here, especially playing opposite of Bosa. I mean, most people can be good. I think he will get paid, so this might be a one and done, but I'm excited. And that's no disrespect to 1B, Javon.
Yes.
Correct. Javon Hargrave. I mean, he's a proven freak. It's just the money.
Yeah.
The money, it's a lot for an older guy, older in quotes there. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be the best player we sign, but if you're accounting for everything. And then I'm going to do Darnold and then Oliver. Oliver, just because I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. I get it. Yeah, I'm gonna rank this a little bit differently. I have Javon as one. It's just tough, actually. I have Javon as one, obviously. It's not even like a question. Javon's the best player. Javon shocked me. Javon made a point. The rest of them I actually expected in terms of just kind of the level of caliber of player they got in free agency. So Oliver, Darnold, Farrell. I would say number two would be Isaiah Oliver for me. I really like Isaiah Oliver, dude.
All right. These are drastically different. Okay.
I really like Isaiah Oliver. Nice. I think he's going to be a really astute signing for them. And I think he's going to be really valuable down the stretch. And wow.
Your excitement gets me excited because I don't know what to expect from him. So you seem very positive.
Look, our program director, Brian, obviously covered him and covered the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta when he was working there. And he isn't as thrilled with Isaiah Oliver, but I just think it's a scheme thing. And I think in the Niners scheme of using him in nickel, using him to be a run defender more so than a pass coverage guy, I think it's going to be really, really valuable. The Niners are really good at tackling in the secondary, really good at tackling up the field. And Isaiah Oliver does the exact same thing. And so that's why I think he's going to be important for this team this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if he have a career high in tackles. I just wouldn't.
Okay. Yeah. I don't. I mean, yeah. I think that's one we should pin on the board. We should get a board going with some preseason predictions.
Yeah, I'll make a board. Let's do that.
Okay, that'd be fun.
I'll put it up on my bulletin board at the office. Absolutely.
Yeah, like TNT does for
We'll bring the board out every once in a while.
So you can see how stupid I look at the end of the season. That sounds awesome.
No, I'll look stupid too. I guess. Like, I said last year, Niners gonna make the playoffs, so I look definitely stupid. So.
Well, you were right.
They wouldn't make the playoffs, or they would.
Oh, I thought you said would.
No, I said they would not make the playoffs.
Okay, yeah, that's a hot take. But well, whatever. Well,
the quarterback was Trey Lance at the time.
It's true.
And I just didn't.
I thought they were going to be a 10-win team last season, but we're talking about the future. We don't need to dread on the past.
We don't need to dread on the past. Anyway, back to my ranking. I have Farrell as three, and I have Darnold as four. Just because I would rather them wait two more days for Matt Ryan to get released because he got released and just signed Matt Ryan. I just wanted Matt Ryan on this team so bad. Maybe that's me being biased.
I did too. Yeah, I did too.
I love the Darnold signing. I get it. I understand it. I just don't know why we're spending a lot more money on a quarterback when you don't want to play him anyway. But, I get it. I get it for Kyle, but I also don't get it in terms of there's other spots that you could pay more money to. Like, you could have kept Manuel Mosey probably with that money, you know?
Yes.
Chad,
did Chad Henne retire? He did. Chad Henne did retire. Chad Henne did retire. I think a good spot. Yeah, a good spot for, obviously, but I think the Chiefs, Matt Ryan might be. I don't know if the money's there.
Oh, my God. If Matt Ryan goes to the Chiefs and gets a Super Bowl ring for nothing, I swear.
Well, they're going to lose to the Niners this year.
There you go. There you go. I love it. I love it. I love it. I can't stand the Chiefs.
That's not an official pick, by the way. That's not an official pick. I'll pick the opponent at a different time that the Niners will beat.
They'll be in the Super Bowl. You're going to throw it out already?
Yeah.
Look at that. Nate's going with early predictions. We're not even half of the free agency. And he's like, nah, they're in the Super Bowl. We got it. He got it. With the court, with Brock Purdy's noodle arm and Trey Lance's somewhat repaired ankle, we got this.
Darnold, baby.
Darnold season, baby. Sorry. I'm having too much fun. Love you guys. Love these players. That'll conclude the Niners portion of the free agency. Were there any other signings that you looked at that you were surprised about from the free agency this first week?
Nothing that sticks out to me. I'm sure something will happen. I thought they were clearing more space for a bigger move because they went to clear space post Hargrave, correct?
Yeah, they did two restructures.
Yeah, so there could be, which were Fret? No, it was who are the two restructures?
It was Fred Warner and it was Tre'Davious Ward.
Okay, it was Fred. Okay, yeah. So still stuff to be done. So we
Look for Eric Armstead to get a restructure negotiation here coming up pretty shortly, I think.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna go on to other free agent signings around the league, correct? I want to start with Aaron Rodgers. I know that's not first on the list, but I want to talk about this. I was so upset and confused with the way this was being reported on. He comes out on the Pat McAfee show and says, I want to play for the Jets, right? That's basically what he said, correct? Yeah. People were reporting on it like it was done. And I'm trying to find a tweet or something where, okay, what's the trade? What's the deal? And nothing. Like, there's nothing there. It hasn't happened yet as of this recording. So I'm confused. Like, everyone's treating it like that's what's going to happen. It's not entirely up to Rodgers as far as I know.
It's not, but it kind of also is because the Packers don't want him.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. But
it's going to happen. He's going to get traded to the Jets. I feel pretty confident about that, actually.
I think most do from reports that people were talking like it was done.
Well, Trey Wingo was talking like it was done.
Yeah.
Look, they still got to iron out the compensation stuff. The Packers want to maximize their compensation for him. I don't think I've heard it's not on the realm of what Matthew Stafford got, what other quarterbacks got to be traded, other high-level ones got to be traded. So I think they're only looking for one first-round pick, frankly. And I think that's kind of fine. It's Aaron Rodgers. I think you can trade a first round pick for him. But regardless, I'm just so glad that this saga is over. Like, I'm so glad. This was so overdramatized, so ridiculous, so dumb. It was so dumb, Aaron.
Do you believe
it was worse than decision? It was so bad.
He said when he came out of the retreat, the darkness retreat, if people don't know what I'm talking about. He said he was 90% sure he was retiring. I never felt that he was going to retire at all.
Never. No, I never felt that one bit.
So you don't believe that he was 90%?
Maybe he was, but I also think that the 10% was, I can't retire the same year Brady does.
Yeah. That's true.
Aaron is very, I don't want to be rude. I'm going to be rude. Egotistical. Very competitive. Aaron has a lot of things on his mind. And one of the things is, I am the greatest quarterback in Packers history. And he needs to solidify that he's one of the greatest of this modern generation. And by retiring the same year as Tom Brady, you have to share the stage with Tom Brady, who is, we all know, the better quarterback of the two because he's Tom frickin' Brady. But Aaron couldn't end it like this. Aaron couldn't end it with the Packers on dismal and just a poor season of him playing. And after two back-to-back MVPs, he's got to go out there and prove some. Frankly, he needs to win another Super Bowl ring. That's really the reason. He needs to go win another ring. And the Jets have a really up-and-coming roster that, frankly, have a lot of talent and could possibly do it in the AFC.
Yep. Same thing was said about the Broncos last year. I thought the Broncos were going to be amazing. I think everyone, most people thought that. You didn't think the Broncos were going to be good?
Nope. I called Russ old and fat, and I was correct, okay. I live in life.
I did not expect to see what I saw last year, so keeping an open mind, I would think on paper that that's an 11-win team, mm-hmm. probably in that area.
Yeah.
I'd say 11. Over under 10.5, I'll take the over.
Even though the Patriots are making signings right now, they're just not – their quarterback's not good at all. Like, not good whatsoever. No. Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi, not the guy. How many games is he going to play?
Yeah, and is he okay? There's a lot of questions with that.
They signed a backup quarterback. I forget who the heck they signed, but they signed a backup quarterback.
Yeah. I know the Bills are a very good team too.
Yes,
obviously, but they have. I think people are going to start getting weary on the Bills after their recent fall aparts. Regular season they're a good team, but I think they're questionable. They're trending down, if that crazy to say.
No, it's not crazy to say. I'm just curious what their next move is. They haven't done a lot in free agency because they're pretty much over the cap with not only with Allen's contract as well as Von Miller. They had to restructure that already, and they created a bunch of cap space with that. But are they restructured? I think Stephon Diggs as well, his contract as well. But it was just kind of a weird thing with them because they kind of had a win now window with Josh, and that's not going to say he can't win the Super Bowl every single. He's a really good player. It's the contract, you know, he's making a lot of money, and that's a big issue when quarterbacks are making, you know, 25% of the salary cap. That's a problem. You know, that's kind of what Josh is doing right now. He's making a lot of money, and it leaves a lot of holes in the team, and they're trying to figure out ways to fill them. And it's hard because you just don't have a lot of cap space, a lot of money to get quality talent to back you up. So while the Bills are probably the favorite in the AFC East right now, I would say the Jets could easily win that division, I think, if the Bills, you know, kind of do their usual thing and implode down the stretch that they've been doing the past couple seasons.
Yeah, definitely. And Josh Allen is, I mean, last year, I don't think people talk enough about his faults. Because, I mean, his positives are so insane and so his highlights are so crazy. But last year, he missed a game tying or game winning touchdown throw that just shot right into the dirt. And it's like, you can't do that if you want to be a winner. Like, you can put all these stats up and be amazing. But his, he had 13 fumbles last year, 5 lost. So that's very alarming. Yeah. He, you know, 14 interceptions, that's 19 turnovers to 35 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's scary to see. And the way he plays, everyone talks about this. The way he plays is just he's getting smashed all the time. He's running into linebackers. He's huge and he can hit him back, but obvious comparison here is Cam Newton. Kind of look where that got him. He was an MVP and really fell off a cliff post 2016.
Yeah, well, Cam got that Liz Frank fractured his foot, and that kind of ruins a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of mobile players. It's unfortunate. Yeah. Liz Frank. It's one of the reasons why I'm down on Chet Holmgren for the Oklahoma City Thunder is Liz Frank scares the frick out of me.
No, and he's 90 pounds and 7'2".
don't get me started. This is not an NBA pod. This is football. But no, Josh Allen, he has a lot to prove this year, and we're going to figure out if he is that guy or if he's not. I think it's going to be a real pivotal season for how his career is going to go. I believe it's year 6 that we're entering now with Josh Allen. This is a big deal. He's entering his prime now. And he has to get it done. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or coconuts, you know?
Yes.
It's time to go do it.
Yep. Curious to see what happens with the Bills. Not super high on the Bills this year, but regardless.
I get it.
Next one. Do you want to talk about the Raiders or you want to talk about let's get the Bengals one out of the way first.
Yeah. This was a shocking development. Okay. Orlando Brown, left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, is now with the Cincinnati Bengals. This was a massive move that broke, I think, either last night or 2 days ago. Orlando Brown, who does not know who Orlando Brown is, this guy is a franchise caliber left tackle. And there are not many of those you can say in the NFL. And I feel really confident about that. This guy has been unreal for his entire career, backing up, protecting Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Now he gets to go to Cincinnati and protect Joe Burrow and be a left tackle. And not only that, the contract that he got was incredibly friendly for getting a franchise left tackle. It was 4 years, $64 million, less than what Mike McGlinchey got from the Denver Broncos.
Yep.
I should just hint at less. And Orlando Brown, no disrespect to Mike McGlinchey, is leaps and bounds better than Mike McGlinchey.
Yep. Great signing. Obviously a need for the Bengals. Good for Burrow. Good job. I keep throwing my hands up here with when I don't have much to say about the signing. But yeah, it's obviously like A plus. Way to go, Bengals. Hopefully we'll crush you in the Super Bowl again, third time.
I think it's incredible because they already had a left tackle in Jonah Williams. And who also Folsom native Jonah Williams, I should say. Folsom native Jonah Williams.
Know that.
Yes, yeah, Folsom native. I watched Jonah Williams in college, or not college. I watched him in high school at Folsom. I think it was Folsom my senior year.
Very good football team.
Yes, he was playing with Jake Browning and them boys at Folsom. They were incredible that year. Now Jonah Williams is also a good left tackle. He is now asked for a trade because he just got his spot taken by Orlando Brown. Yeah. And the Bengals, it's a kill or be killed world, it looks like, for them, man. They are ready to just say, screw it. We're done messing around. Let's go get our guy Joe Burrow some more protection. Let's go make sure he's protected on the offensive line, make sure he is taken care of, and let's go win a Super Bowl. And clearly, the Bengals are about that action now, because whatever gap you saw between the Chiefs and the Bengals, is it there? Who knows? I don't know if it's there anymore. They got some talent, man.
Yeah. Some definite similarities between the Niners and the Bengals. I'd say just the way that they're confident. They talk crud. They can back it up for the most part. I mean, they got a little embarrassed with the whole Chiefs and the mayor thing. That's stupid though. That's the mayor's fault. The definite comparisons there. I mean, on the field's a little different, but it's good for them. Good for them.
It's really good for them. Like, it's really good for them, and it shocked me. It shocked a lot of people that they were able to afford a contract like this, able to do a contract like this. Very sneaky maneuver.
Sneaky little cats.
Sneaky little cats. Bengals, man. You know, who day?
I don't know.
You don't know who day is?
I don't know who day is. No. Yeah, I don't know, and frankly, I don't care. all right, let's talk about this one. This next big boy, guy Jimmy G. This isn't official yet either. This isn't official as of yesterday. It's official?
It's now official.
Yeah. As of this morning?
Yeah, as this morning.
Okay. So, Jimmy G, Raider. Congrats. That's a holdover move. I was talking to one of my friends about this big Raiders fan who's been he's harped on Jimmy G quite a bit. It's a holdover move. I don't see it as a bad thing. Though?
Is it?
I guess not. I mean,
I don't know if it is or not.
I do think it'll be fun to see what he does with Davante Adams, because he hasn't had a receiver like Davante Adams. Because Davante, I mean, can be a yak guy, but you can just huck it up to him.
Yeah.
In a different way from other receivers he's had. That'll be exciting at the very least. It would have been – Waller would have been nice for him, but I guess he was only worth a third-round pick.
I as soon as they signed Jakobi Meyers, I knew that people were getting traded. I'm like, there's no way. They can't afford all these offensive players. They have to trade someone. And, of course, it was Darren Waller, who, frankly, I understood the trade. He's 30 years old now and has been injury-prone for the last couple seasons. I get it. Getting a third-round pick isn't the worst thing in the world, but it is what it is. Jimmy Garoppolo is a Raider, and that's just – oh, man. I actually had a little bit of glimmer of hope yesterday.
Kind of fitting.
Unfortunately, it is, because I can't stand the regime and the Raiders organization right now. But unfortunately, I had a glimmer of hope yesterday when the press conference got delayed by 3 hours and the reporters were just sitting there waiting for this guy. While every other free agent came up and Jimmy was in the building, nothing happened.
It's just because it wasn't signed yet. It wasn't in stone.
They still had some things to work out is kind of what got reported.
Okay. Well,
it got worked out. So yeah. Now here, and now he talked. And
those poor reporters had to sit there for 3 hours.
It just sucks. Raiders, man. That just sucks. Oh, I've done it before too, though. I've sat there for a long time before.
Yeah, but at least you're around like bright red colors instead of in a black, dark, silver room, you know?
Yeah.
That's probably worse.
You're in the Death Star, so you know.
You're in the Death Star, yeah.
It literally is a Death Star. But no, one of the quotes I saw from Jimmy G, he goes, he wants to get the silver and black back to where it's supposed to be. So middling tier, like what? I don't.
Yeah. Great. Good. Yeah.
I wish I had more confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo. I just don't. I really don't. I just
better
don't.
Raiders or Broncos this year?
Broncos.
Okay, Raiders.
Raiders aren't good. They don't have a defense.
How many? What's the? I'm going to put the over under at 5.5 for the Raiders. What are you taking?
I'll take the over and I get 6 wins.
Okay. Yeah, I put that a little
too. I have 6 wins. I have six wins. I have 6-11 makes sense. 7-10 that makes sense. Sorry. Look, okay. Jimmy Garoppolo is a fine NFL quarterback. He's average. But in the AFC West of killers with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, average is not going to get you the cream of the crop. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Yeah. So you're saying it's a holdover, but it's also not a holdover. What do you? Because I was saying it's a holdover move, and you kind of were on the fence about that.
Holdover means bridge for you, right?
Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
Okay. He's not a bridge quarterback. He's there to be the starting quarterback, clearly. They signed him to a 3-year deal for $72 million.
Yeah.
He's going to play all 3 seasons at least. Maybe a fourth they re-sign. Who the hell knows? But I just don't think this move indicates that they're going to draft a quarterback this year, which is what I kind of wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's going to happen. Now, they might shock me and take Anthony Richardson with the 7th overall pick, and I'll be thrilled, and I'll be happy as hell, because then I can just leave this season alone, and Anthony can come play in 2 years. The Raiders aren't going to do that. They're not making smart moves right now. They're making personnel moves, culture moves.
Yeah.
They're making moves that are nice on paper, nice for the publicity, nice for the image, but not winning franchise moves, in my opinion.
They got a decent amount of picks this year. 2/3, 3/5, 2/6, 2/7. So,
yes, but when have the Raiders ever drafted well?
That's a fantastic question. That's something I take for granted as a Niners fan.
Yeah, I trust me. Before I covered the Niners, I didn't understand what a good draft class was, and then I came to cover the Niners, and I was like, wait, so you understand that players that are good and bad?
That's a thing. Yeah, it's hard to grasp.
It's really hard to grasp. Anyway, you take former disappointing first round picks and make them blue chip players? What?
You get them paid 8 times as much as they can be making? All right. So that's kind of all the big ones, correct? Is there anything else that stuck out because in the signings around the NFL?
Any other ones really? No.
Still got plenty of time, but
there's a lot of moves that have been made. I could just go through the list. Let me just like pull it up really quick. Let me just pull up the tracker really quick. And if you even check this out on the site at sacktownsports.com, I got a free agent tracker going up that'll be recapping the first week of free agency. It'll stop at the end of this weekend is when I'll last update it. But that is going to keep you intact with all the news that's going around the NFL right now and kind of just what's going around. The free agency, trades, regardless of anything, that's what we got going on. Just want to pull it up. I don't know why. There's so many articles. I'm trying to find it down here in the deep dives. There it is. It's been a crazy week, Nate. It's been a crazy week.
For all of us, just with the Kings, too. It's a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun. A
lot of fun. Other big moves, Darius Slay re-signed with the Eagles. That was a big deal on Wednesday. Darius Slay's back with the Eagles on a 2-year deal. James Robinson went to the New England Patriots. I apologize. Mike McGlinchey also went to the Patriots this morning.
Mike McGlinchey went to the
Mike Gesicki. I apologize.
Okay,
not like too many M's and G's. I just got it lost right there.
Mike Gesicki. I like him a lot. I obviously play fantasy. I keep an eye on him, but I'm glad. I remember. I think he had a quote after the game to a different tight end where he's like, "I'm glad you're getting used on your team." And it's like, damn, dude. All right. Yeah.
CC Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. What else? What else? Let's see here. Miles Sanders signed with the Carolina Panthers. Jamal Williams went to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
Fletcher Cox was staying with the Eagles.
7.5 wins for the Saints over under.
In the NFC South, let's look at the quarterbacks. Hold on. Panthers are going to have a rookie, one of the rookies.
Trask.
No, well, it's Baker. It's Baker in Tampa.
Oh, it's Baker. Okay.
Baker in Tampa. So Baker in Tampa. Derek Carr is in the Saints, and Atlanta has Ritter. What's the over-under again?
7.5.
Yeah, I take the over. The Saints are the best team, and clearly the best team. Like, yeah. Not even a joke.
Which is not saying much, though.
No, the NFC South's terrible. Yeah. Because guess what? Sam Darnold had the Panthers in contention last year.
That's okay? Our guy.
That's our guy.
That's our guy.
That's our guy, bro. Sam.
Let's go, Sam.
Let's go, Sam.
Trojans.
Trojans. Fight on, baby.
Yeah, my neighbors are going to love that I'm screaming. Actually, you know what? They're loud. They can deal with it.
I live in the boonies, bro. No one can hear me out here. Yeah. I live in the woods. But Juju signed with the Patriots. Anyway, the Saints are going to be fine with Derek Carr. They're going to win some games, and they'll be kind of relevant, kind of not. That's kind of how I see that going.
Yeah, too good to get a good pick, too bad to make the playoffs.
So someone has to make the playoffs.
They will make the playoffs. They will, obviously.
Someone has to make the playoffs.
To do anything,
Someone has to make it with their 7-9,
yeah,
7-10 record or whatever the heck it's going
to
be.
They'll lose to whoever, 28-6, or they'll beat the Cowboys and it'll be very funny.
If Derek Carr beats the Cowboys, I will laugh and cry.
Oh my god, I'll laugh and cry. That'd be so funny.
Oh my god, please Cowboys. God, please let Derek Carr beat him, please.
Yeah, let's not even talk Cowboys because they get enough.
They're gross. Much. Anyways. We're close to wrapping this up here, but Nate, do you have anything on Nate's corner for today?
Do I have anything on Nate's corner? Yeah. He's excited. He's excited for all these signings. I think there's one more, maybe not a move as big as Hargrave, but I think there's one more significant move the Niners make before your tracker closes this weekend.
Okay. Offense or defense?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to get even more specific. I think it's going to be something with the O-line.
Ooh.
There's some move to be made there.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. I like it.
I think bringing McKivitz back is cool. Brendel's back. Yeah, let's see what happens.
I like it. I really do. Last one before we go. Niners aren't getting Lamar Jackson, right?
Something I haven't really considered. If they did, I would be so happy. If they got Tom Brady, I would be so happy. If they got Aaron Rodgers, I'd be so happy. Any of those, I would be through the roof. Sorry, Brock. Sorry, Trey. Sorry, Sam. But I need to see this team get a Super Bowl before I die. I was born 2 years after the first one. Year after, I've made it very clear to my close friends and family that's something that needs to happen. I need to see them win a Super Bowl before I die. I've had my heart ripped out several times. I don't even want to go into it. It makes me so sad. I just need to see them. I need to see them do it. So please, just do it, guys, for me.
I loved it. I love that. That was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
That's incredible. Raw emotion.
That was some raw emotion right there. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You and your Jimmy Butler hair right there with the braid coming out in the top.
Well, it's not. It's just messy. I have two very thick cowlicks. I wish I had Jimmy Butler's hair. It would look so cool.
Just with the poofs and the.
I'd finally get respect. That's all I've been trying to get from.
Then you can play Nickelback in the team locker room after a loss.
Yeah, that'd be rad. Yeah, be rad, that's bro. Crazy he did that. I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that when the Kings lose the playoffs. I'll come into work with everyone, and I'll play Nickelback really loud and sing. I'll finally get respect.
I love it. All right, before this goes off the rails, no, Lamar Jackson's not coming to the Niners. It'd be crazy if he did, though. Anyways, that's it for Return of the Empire, Episode 2, Season 2, with my guy, Nate Littlefield. We'll be back next week with another episode, recapping more free agent stuff. Any of the other Niner news that comes out, obviously, we will hit as well. At Sacktown Sports, as well as at my Twitter, at Emiliano Fregoso. At our Twitter, at Sacktown Sports 1140. Hit us up there, too. And if you're not, if you don't like this podcast, give us a like. Give us a thumbs up. You know,
please,
comment.
I'm begging you.
Subscribe,
please.
Share. Come on. Come on, support the
I'm fans. Begging you. Please.
Please.
Give us a like.
Nate, any parting words?
Yeah, you can look at my Instagram. There's a cute little picture of me and Deuce and Mo on there if you want to like that. They thought I was making fun of them when I asked to take a picture with them. I wasn't. But no, I don't really have social media or anything. I might need to work on that. But, hey, you know,
it's all right.
Check me out.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it for us. We'll catch you guys on the flip. Have a good one, y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.